Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday. It is August 21st. I have been informed by sources familiar with the matter. This is 2020. Still, I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, welcome to Friday.
That's what I hear. Also with me today, I have Jeff Butts. Hi, Jeff.
What up?
All right. Andrew, I'd like to start with you. And I know it's Security Friday, but once again, it's sort of this week in Instagram.
Yeah. So I guess Instagram is rolling out this new feature where they will start asking what they call suspicious accounts to verify their identity with some form of government ID.
Okay.
And they say this will help users understand when these kind of accounts are, what they say, attempting to mislead their followers. Although, as I pointed out, it's not really clear what they view as suspicious behavior. So just in case you're browsing Instagram and then suddenly it's asking you for your driver's license, this is what's going on.
All right.
Interesting.
Yeah. So,
and they do say IDs will be stored securely and deleted within 30 days once our review is completed.
I absolutely believe that. You know, I feel like, Andrew, that's not all the Instagram news we have today.
So, yeah, speaking of storing information in servers
securely,
there was a data leak. Yeah, securely.
Oh, no.
A data leak from this company called, let's see, what's its name again? Social Data.
Okay.
And they sell data to social media influencers, or data on these influencers to marketers.
Okay.
And they had a database of almost 235 million social media profiles from Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, possibly more. And this is data that was all publicly scraped. So
Okay. It
will have data on Instagram, just as one example, that you put on there, like your profile name, your real name, your photo, description, age, gender, a whole bunch of different stuff.
Okay. So this is public data. So we can't completely grill Instagram for this, because allegedly, if you give them your driver's license information, that would not have been part of this data breach, even if they had it, because this was all scraped.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So public scraping is still against these companies' policies. And the reason it's a data leak is just because this company stored this data and didn't password protect it.
Okay. Well, that's just fantastic.
Yeah.
That is exactly what you want to hear about from a site that's selling data to other people, that they store it and don't bother to protect it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, certainly not very valuable if now it's out there for free, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, that's true.
So we have another interesting story about a data breach. This is one where apparently people are headed to court.
Yes, so if our listeners remember, Marriott, they had a big data breach. I think it was in 2018, so maybe a couple years ago now.
Yeah, something like that.
So it was all the millions of people that have visited their hotels, and they had their data hacked. Off the top of my head, I think the data included credit card numbers, which is obviously serious.
Yeah.
So,
a little bit.
Finally, Marriott is facing a class action lawsuit in London.
Okay.
And it's led by this guy called Martin Bryant. He founded this consultancy firm, Big Revolution, as Charlotte wrote up.
Okay.
And it just says the lawsuit seeks unspecified damages for loss of control of personal data.
That's good. I'm glad for that. And part of the reason we want to let you know is because, like, yay. First of all, like, this is stuff that happens that turns out is actually against the law. And so having someone go to court over it is, I guess, comforting in a weird way, like to find out that this is something that happens that does have consequences. It's kind of nice to know that there is, you know, that something will happen to you, that there is some sort of fallout for being careless with people's data. So I'm glad to hear it. That's good. Mm-hmm.
So it says unspecified damages. So according to this article, around 7 million British gas records were compromised, according to some the Information Commissioner's Office in the UK. Mm-hmm. And just to get a sort of idea, last year they proposed to fine Marriott £99.2 million or $133 million. So good. I'm assuming these damages are going to be in the multi-millions.
Yeah. And this is class action. So this is one of those where sometimes people will get an odd looking email and, you know, go to a website that says lawsuit in it somewhere, class action somewhere. And, you know, you fill out the form and you wait a while and then sometimes you get a check in the mail. So that might be great.
For $5.
Well, sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, unless was it Experian, I think, that like ran out of money? Everybody got $4 or something, and that wasn't even everybody. Something like that. So we have one more piece of security threat information, and that has to do with medical records.
Oh, no.
Okay, so yeah, this is yet another data breach. This AI company called SenseAI leaked 2.5 million medical records for people living in New York.
Fabulous. So, yeah.
That's amazing. That's just outstanding.
Well, was this another, like, we didn't bother with a password situation?
So it sounds like there's a little bit more to it than that. This article, Secure Thoughts, wrote this up, and they say the records were labeled as staging data for their AI, and we can only speculate that this was a storage repository intended to hold this data temporarily before it was loaded into their AI.
Okay.
And medical records, so it contains a lot of very sensitive personal information.
Yeah. It doesn't get any more personal, really, than a medical record. So that's part of why that's interesting. Now, the thing that was interesting to me about this that stood out was this is staging data for AI. And, like, what is it they want to do with all of this information? That was kind of what my question was, like, how are they going to, what is it that the AI is supposed to be, like, chewing through all these records for and coming out with at the other end? So I was kind of wondering about that. And it doesn't seem like they've told us a whole lot about what they're doing with it. So
this article says, according to their LinkedIn profile, this company, since they provide a lot of different what they call software as a service automation solutions. So it says its product includes SenseBot that allows users to automate various tasks, assist employees and employers with information, but then a whole bunch of other stuff like ticket management, appointment scheduling. So it sounds like a jack of all trades type of bot.
Yeah,
I can see because, you know, quite often when I call to make an appointment with the doctor, the nurse or receptionist will ask me, you know, what symptoms are you having? What do you think is wrong? Mm-hmm. And the AI could use that to determine whether someone needs to actually see the doctor or if they could just see a nurse practitioner or a PA.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Still, like, part of what made the other thing that made this stand out to me, aside from the AI piece of it, was thinking about Apple talking about getting into medical records and, you know, being able to store more information in HealthKit and in the health app on your phone, and talking about, and whenever Apple has talked about anything like this, like, we know they're working with the VA to do digitizing medical information there. And we've heard mm-hmm. other things about what sort of security there is around the health data you have on your phone, and even the activity data that you have on your phone or on your watch, and what sort of steps Apple is taking to make sure that stuff is protected and secure. And every time we hear another story about a bunch of medical records, medical information that gets out into the world, you know, I've seen stories about like somebody had a bunch of paper files that were sitting in the backseat of a car, and a car got broken into, and a bunch of people's medical data was stolen. Everything from that to something like this, where, you know, this was data that somebody's not supposed to have that they have now. Like every time I hear something like that, I feel a little bit more like, you know, medical records on my phone doesn't seem like the worst idea, considering Apple's very upfront about like, we don't have it, you know, here are the precautions that we take to make sure it doesn't go anywhere else and that kind of thing. So that always makes me feel a little bit better.
I'm looking at the iCloud security overview page right now, and health data is definitely part of the type of data that they use end-to-end encryption on.
Mm-hmm. So that means even if somebody has physical control of my device, somebody who is not me has my phone, without being able to get into my phone, they can't get into any of that data because it's also encrypted on my device. So that's another thing that I think is kind of nice about that. I feel a little better all the time about the amount of medical data that I'm putting into that. As that becomes a bigger thing and people start using ancillary apps, like not just something that tracks workouts or things like that, or like how far you walked today or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But anything that has to do with medical information, if you have like a blood glucose monitor or you use a blood pressure monitor, things like that, that are putting ongoing medical data into your phone. Right. Like I feel a little better about some of that stuff now. So as those things get bigger, it's nice to know that the data that you're, at least once it gets to health, that stuff's encrypted and at least relatively secure. So, I'm feeling better about that all the time, actually.
Cool.
So before we get to today's practical tip, what I'd like to do is take a minute right now and tell you about our sponsor this week. Our sponsor is Devon Technologies. Devon Technologies makes an app called Devon Think, which is their flagship product, and it is the most professional document information management application available on macOS. It is available to help you handle the information fire hose that you have to deal with in 2020. You can organize, edit, annotate all your documents. You can organize them into groups. You can tag them if that's your thing. You can do both if that's also your thing. There are smart rules available. You can add reminders to some of those documents. They can be live web pages. They can be local files. And you can even build automation to handle all the boring parts for you. And just for being my listener, thank you for that, by the way, you can get 10% off either a full Devon Think 3 license or 10% off an upgrade. So if you have a previous license, go dust that off and you can get a deal on upgrading even. And you can get that at devontechnologies.com/TDO. devontechnologies.com/TDO. 10% off a full version or an upgrade. And we'd like to thank Devon Technologies for sponsoring the show this week. Now, our practical tip today is something, Jeff, that you wrote up about encrypting email.
Yeah. We talk a lot about encryption in other regards, but a lot of times we don't really talk about encrypting our email. And there's a lot of times when you might need to, if you're sending sensitive information, like credit card numbers or passwords or anything like that. You want that encrypted, because otherwise it's going out over the webs, or not over the webs, it's going out over the internet as plain text, and anybody can snoop it, anybody can intercept it, read your email, and know exactly what you've sent. Apple makes it really easy to use email encryption, and I've wrote a few times on how you can capitalize on that. It can cost a lot of money, but there's always one or two certificate providers out there that will give you that encryption certificate for free. Mm-hmm. And I just recently updated my Apple Mail encryption article with the latest encryption authority that offers a free certificate. So
excellent.
Folks should be sure to check out that article, and they can follow the steps there for actually setting everything up and getting it going. The other thing with email encryption is, you know, we've written about how to do this on iPhone in the past, and that requires emailing the certificate to yourself and then tapping it to install it and going through a lot of other hoops. Mm-hmm. Coming up in the fall, that's going to be easier too. You'll be able to drop your certificate right into the Files app, like put it on your iCloud drive, tap on it in the Files app, and boom, you can install it. Quick and easy.
Yep. That's excellent news. One of the nice things about email encryption that I think sometimes gets skipped is that when you send email to somebody, it can take a lot of steps to get where it's mm-hmm. going. So yeah. It works kind of the same way as a FedEx package or a letter that you mail. Like, it makes a number of stops along the way, and every place that your email stops, it has a potential for somebody else to get a hold of it and read it.
Right.
So that's mm-hmm. part of why the being able to encrypt it and being able to encrypt it easily is important, because if you are sending medical information, you know, you're sending Instagram a picture of your driver's license because they have a deep inner need to know who you are, whatever. You want to make sure that stuff is not out there publicly. And the easiest way to do that is to do something like encrypt your email. And if you are encrypting your email, like Jeff said, there are certificate authorities out there who are free, and that can make things very useful. So that's excellent. Excellent tip. If you're using email encryption, or if you have more questions about that, you can get a hold of us at observations@macobserver.com. You can go to TMO Daily on Twitter, or you can leave comments in the show notes. That's going to do it for us today. We're going to send you off into the weekend so everyone can go install email certificates to get everything encrypted. Andrew, thanks so much for coming by to tell us about all of this week's security news.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and have a good weekend, everyone.
And Jeff, thanks so much for coming by.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me. It was always a pleasure.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you again on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.
Party on, Garth.